Welcome to Concreteville Crypto Financing, where we explore the intersection of real estate and crypto financing. We invite leaders, experts, and in both real estate and crypto on our show to gain knowledge into this revolutionary new field of tokenized real estate. First, here's a word from our sponsor. What if you could invest in real estate with just a few clicks? Introducing Concreteville, CBLD, where real estate meets blockchain. With CBLD, you can fund and own a stake in tokenized real estate, backed by cutting-edge 3D printing and commercial properties. Earn passive income, invest securely, and help solve the housing crisis. The future of real estate is here. Are you ready? Real estate investing is expensive, complicated, and out of reach for many until now. Concreteville, CBLD, is changing the game with tokenized real estate. For as little as a few dollars, you can own a stake in commercial property powered by blockchain technology. Fractional ownership, secure transactions, real impact. Skip the red tape and invest in real estate like never before. Invest today at concretebuild.org. Concreteville, tokenizing properties, tokenizing wealth. And now to introduce my guest. My guest tonight is Rob Peters. Rob Peters, he is an expert in small business success. Rob has been an entrepreneur for over 38 years and has worked in the wedding and special event industry, as well as has management experience in retail and service-based small businesses. He is the author of The Small Business CEO's Playbook. Welcome, Rob. Thank you so much for being on my show today.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
Wonderful, wonderful. So tell me, Rob, what do you see as the future of real estate, and how does crypto play a part of it in your estimation?
So real estate is always going to be something that I think is continuously evolving and continuously in demand. Just looking around and seeing how things developed. I think after the pandemic, a lot of the commercial properties that are, out there and available just didn't rebound. Like, a lot of people went remote. And I think that that is leading to what will eventually become more residential kind of real estate. As far as crypto goes, I got to be honest with you, crypto is something fairly new to me. I've kind of dabbled a little bit in it. I've had some discussions about it. I think crypto is definitely something that, if it can become a little more mainstream, right? If it can become something that can be used a little more frequently in everyday business and in everyday world, I think you're going to see it go places. But it's funny. I remember when it first came out, we were de at that point, we were still running our entertainment business and we were doing weddings. And I had people coming to me and at saying to me, I've got a bunch of crypto and I didn't really know a heck of a lot about it. I'm like, no, I think we're gonna maybe do cash on this one. But I know a lot of people that are playing with crypto right now and investing in crypto, and I'm hearing a lot of great things about it. It's something, like I said, I've dabbled in a little bit, but I've really been more focused on just a lot of the stuff that we do with small businesses and stuff.
Gotcha. So, do you think that you would have gotten more business if you had accepted crypto as payment?
I absolutely think there's a possibility that it would have happened. My concern, and again, I think when crypto first came out for an entrepreneur like myself or a small business owner, our concern is, what do we do with it? And besides invest it, you know what I mean? I think that's a big concern when it comes to a lot of people choosing to take it, is you've got people who are really invested in the concept, who are making money with it hand over fist. And we see that going on every day. But I feel like when it comes to depending on putting food on the table, and as a small business owner, you have to crawl before you can walk. And once you can walk, then you've got the luxury to be able to do that. I think I would have done a little more business if I had done it and understood it a little bit more. But at that point in time, we were averaging probably, I don't know, we were averaging probably at least 100 to 150 weddings just from an entertainment standpoint at that point in time. So for me to slow down and try to research it, I have a cousin who's really invested into it. And, he tells me a little bit about how his stuff is doing. And I'm like, wow, I'm like, there's a part of me that's like, maybe I should have invested on the ground floor many
Right.
moons ago. So there's a little bit of regret there, you know?
It's still the ground floor, Rob. Honestly, I really do believe we're still in the nascent stages of crypto, believe it or not. And here's some comfort for you. What you're describing as far as what to do with it is what a lot of people out there is their concern, with crypto, that and the volatility of it,
Exactly.
obviously. So one of the things that you will find, especially, more mature crypto investors, is they're always going to say, what's the utility? So you don't want to buy a coin just for the sake of buying a coin.
Right.
You want to make sure that your coin, that whatever crypto coin that you're investing in, has utility. And basically what all that means is that it's good for something other than just holding it. And that's really the beauty of what we do with Concrete Build, is that we have our coin that's going to be able to be used for development, specifically of 3D printing homes, for purchases of commercial property. And then we're going to tokenize that coin. So you're going to be able to purchase that commercial property in a fractional way. So think of timeshare, but for commercial properties. But
Right, exactly.
you're owning like a stock of that commercial property. And so it has a lot of utilities. You can buy and sell your Concrete Build coin. You can use it to pay rent or mortgage once we've used it to develop those properties. So it's going to have a lot of utility. And most coins in the future that succeed will be those coins that have utility. As far as the volatility, I'm going to tell you a little secret. That's probably your investor cousin knows a little bit about. It's called liquidity pools. With liquidity pools, you're basically just an investor on the kind of like on the stock trade. You're basically the lender of the money that people use to buy and trade different types of coins. So you're not
Sure.
necessarily riding the wave of volatility. You're simply investing in it and just skimming off the fees on the top.
So in other words, and if I'm understanding this right, there's definitely a small business in there somewhere that people can capitalize on when it comes to that.
Yes, liquidity pool investing is the way to go if you're not interested in the volatility of the crypto coin, but you just want to benefit from the volatility because
Gotcha.
the fees that you get from people playing with the coins is, you're just the bank basically with the liquidity pool. So I highly recommend, we actually have a course that guides people on what liquidity pools are, really in, that's separate from the coin itself, but
Sure.
we really want to educate, entrepreneurs like yourself so that you're not afraid of investing in crypto. This is the nascent stages.
There you go.
It's still the early stages of crypto. But you mentioned something really interesting about real estate. You said that a lot of commercial properties went away or really lost value due to COVID, right?
Exactly.
And everybody going remote. Well, what if those commercial properties were fractionalized and those owners then didn't have the entire burden of that entire mortgage? Do you think that, especially if they shared it amongst lots of different investors, that they wouldn't have, what do you think that would have looked like for those investors?
I think, well, I think when you look at it as an investment, and let's start there. I think when you look at something like that as an investment, it's definitely something that is a little bit more viable. When you look at a lot of companies, and I'm south of Boston, Massachusetts, just to give you an idea. And driving around here, it's just amazing how you drive by certain buildings at one point in time that are owned by big major companies, you know? And they you drive at night and you see that the whole third and fourth floor, the lights are on, and literally nobody's home. There's
Right.
nothing on those floors whatsoever. I think it's a good investment opportunity. I also think that there's something to be said about that, especially when it comes to small business owners, when you talk about investments like that, and that is making it available so that a small business owner who can't afford to have an address at, a high-end office building and needs that perception, there's something there, I think a lot of those businesses models that are out there that rent an office by the hour, those buildings that are there for that,
Yes, for
definitely do an
sure.
interest for small business. And I talk a little bit about people who have to be on the road all day. And I have, people I work with and people in my network that are in there, and they just get tired of camping out of Panera Bread. Nothing against Panera Bread, but
Or
they, or
Starbucks,
Starbucks,
right?
right? But they want that kind of thing. And I think from an investment standpoint, there's something there. The concern is, what happens when you look in an area where there is office building after office building that is empty? And is that going to be a viable business when you have five or six of them around in the same spot? You know what I mean? Is there too much inventory out there that's not going to be used?
Well,
So I think that plays.
converting them to apartment buildings is also a really good, or lofts is also a great option for a lot of those apartments because we know that there's a housing shortage. So you might have excess commercial office space, but you have a shortage in office, in rental type of residential type of units. And a lot of young people, millennials and later, love to live in the city. They like
Exactly. Oh,
idea.
exactly. It's funny. I was talking with somebody today, and we were talking at a band about, we're talking about commercial properties for a minute, but we're talking about an abandoned school. And there's some similarity there. And the one thing that he said to me was, there's a couple of different options on the table here, but we just don't know what we want to do with it. And you're talking about a three or four story school building on a busy intersection in a corner that has sat abandoned for 2 years. And, I think if you've got that potential of converting buildings like that into something that is going to become residential property and get rid of, like you said, the housing shortage. I mean, we look at how much it costs to buy a home, and you look at those, that ongoing rise and fall, right? And I think when you've got enough of that inventory available, and we've been able to repurpose what was originally there for a big corporation into something that people can make a home and a life in, that there's something that to be said about that.
Definitely mixed use, right? They could use it for
Exactly.
residential, they could use it for shops and things like that. And here's the beauty of it, Rob, that if you have fractional ownership of those properties, you can have a community, the community that's looking at that blight
Exactly.
of that abandoned building, come together and say, this is what we want to see our community look like. And not only are you repurposing that abandoned building, but now you're revitalizing that neighborhood in the process. And everybody in that community will benefit, right? Because they're all fractional owners. They all have a piece of the pie invested, and they will also reap the benefits of it.
Beautiful.
Yes. So tell me a little bit about what you do, Rob, for small business owners. What's the concept of, CEO, the your, small business, the CEO's playbook? Tell us a little bit.
So the funny thing is, being in the DJ industry about 20 years ago, there was not a lot of business acumen. So I actually wrote a book teaching mobile DJs how to be business owners. And I'm talking about people who you would hire to like do DJ your wedding or DJ a birthday party or a corporate event. And there wasn't a lot of things being taught at that time that taught that industry how to be business. So I wrote a book, and it was marketed to the DJ industry, sold 500 copies, and I began to speak and take all the things that I knew about running business and teaching that industry. Flash forward to now, a friend of mine and I we were actually out with a group of friends one night, and we were talking about books, and I had just mentioned in passing that I'd written a book 20 years ago, and
Right.
it turned into my friends jumping on their phones, click, click, click. They're on eBay trying to find a copy of the book, and one of my good friends found it,
I
bought
love it.
it for $5, which, got me out of a commission, if you will. But the next thing you know, he's reading the book and he said, "There's a lot of useful stuff in here. And, you should really think about maybe rewriting it." And I thought about it, but I didn't want to just pigeonhole one industry. And I look
Got it.
back at my experience. My dad, I get into small business through my family. My dad, my late father, who ran gas stations, was really like my hero and my mentor. And I
Yeah.
learned so much from him that I decided when I was going to start working and trying to bring this new concept to life again, it wasn't just going to be for one industry, but it was going to be for not just small business people that are maybe doing a, brick and mortar kind of store. I have some people that I work with that are financial brokers. I have some realtors. I have people who do business. And what I do is I teach them the things that make that successful. One of the big things is you're not in business to make money. Now, stop right there. You are in business to make money, but the key to that is creating the relationship. And what I do is I teach the things that got my entertainment company really successful. Before COVID, we were 85% of the business that we had was either a referral from someone in our network or repeat business, which is very rare.
That is
And there's
wonderful.
a way to do it. And the key, obviously, is the personal connection. So I teach a lot of how important it is to not click, click, click and be doing that, but to be out shaking hands and kissing babies, if you will, and
Yes.
building a network and introducing yourself genuinely to people who either need your business or know people that do, and how to make that all happen. At the same time, I also teach about looking for your way to make your business a repeat option for the same customer base. They say that it takes six times as much effort to bring in a new customer as it is to maintain your current ones. And if you're
Yes.
creative enough and you pivot, you can actually keep a customer. We have customers we've worked with that we've been working with for about 10 years. And they call us every year for some kind of entertainment, and it's so much fun. But what I'm doing with small business now is I'm talking about the book and just trying to give small business a fair chance, because when you look in the world, small business gets gypped, in my opinion. We only celebrate it, if you think about it, two times a year, once in May for Small Business Week, and you're going to see that come up pretty soon.
Right.
But the other one, and when you think about this makes it makes a little sense, but it doesn't. We celebrate Small Business Saturday, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, which is the day after the kickoff of the holiday shopping season, when all of these big stores have put out these doorbuster deals and tried to convince the American public to go spend the majority of their money there. And they do that. And then the next day, we're telling them, oh, go visit your local mom and pop store with whatever you have left. And you know what? These are the people who, they're your neighbors, they're your friends, they're supporting your local like soccer teams and sporting events and things like that in your local community. And I think American Express, don't get me wrong, does a great job, and they've sponsored this for years, and I think it's a great concept. But I think we've got to move that Small Business Saturday to before Thanksgiving, when people are ready to spend, and
When they
let
still
them
have
have a little
money.
bit more of a bigger shot. And you know what? We talk about crypto. I think that that's another whole concept when it comes to small business. If they have that liquidity, like you've talked about, and they've got that opportunity to be able to have that be of use a little bit more than the average cash-based store, you've got an opportunity there. And even the brokers, as I said before, I've got financial brokers who have read my book and found a lot of things in it. And again, it gets back to one thing, and that is be personal. People don't buy your product or service, they buy you.
They buy
And that's
you.
what I
That
like to
is very
teach.
good. I love that. I love that. It's all about service. At the end of
Exactly.
the day, actually caring for your customers. I love that, Rob. Well, you hit a nerve. I'm really with you the whole time. How can our listeners find your book or find your website?
Real simple. It's robpeters.biz, B-I-Z. You can buy the book there. It's on sale right now with for free shipping. So basically, anybody who buys it, shipping in the continental United States is free, and we'll get it right out. And in fact, I've made a commitment that we're just getting started selling this, and I self-publish.
Okay.
So I hand-sign every book that goes out the door up until the first 500, and then I'm going to stop because I don't have enough hours in the day to be able to sit down and sign books all day. So I have other things I need to be accountable for. So it's you will get a hand signed copy though, which, you know, is my little way of saying, you know what, thanks for entrusting somebody like me to be able to give you some advice based on my 38 years of experience.
I love that. And we will put your link in the description box.
Sure.
Of this podcast for sure.
Great.
Well, thank you so much, Rob. This is a very enjoyable conversation that we've had. I love the fact that you really brought in the entrepreneurs and we really discussed how communities can really come alongside, you know, blighted facilities and blighted buildings and commercial properties that really are not doing much of anything. And I believe that personally, I believe that fractional ownership and tokenized properties is the solution for this blight. And repurposing commercial properties. I truly believe that. Well, I'm going to just kind of leave our listeners with a little bit of a sign off and a reminder of how to connect with Concrete Built. So if anyone's out there is interested in tokenized properties or fractionalizing properties, please visit us at concretebuild.org. Again, Concrete Built, tokenizing properties, tokenizing wealth. We are going to end the call at that time. Thank you so much, Rob, again.
Thank you.